Good morning.
Good morning.
A number of you are here today, and this is your first time back since being quarantined and this wild journey that we're all on together. And so if this is your first day back, let me just say welcome back. It's great to have you. I know it's great for you to be in the building, even with all the restrictions we have and the inconveniences we have, but at least we can gather together still before God's throne and worship Him. We have a number of visitors with us here this morning, and we are glad that you're here. We always love when God sends us people anytime. Come and we'd love for you to be here, and we'd love for you to come back. And so I also want to be sure and include those watching from home. We have 142 different devices tuned in right now, and we have those from, of course, Oklahoma, Texas, Iowa, Arizona, Missouri, Oregon, California, and Arkansas. And so glad that you are with us, and we appreciate that and hope that that is meaningful for you each week as we trudge along in this world. We're here, but this is really not our home. I love that song. It's not our home. We're not to be too comfortable here. Do you know that? So life is uncomfortable sometimes, and that can be a good reminder for us that this is not intended to be our forever home. We are passing through. We're trying to take as many with us as we can. So obviously, you're well aware that our nation is still struggling mightily with this topic. And so we had a sermon on it last week, racial harmony, and just the racial problems in America and worldwide. This is a very complex problem, and it's on our minds, and it's on our hearts. And if you think you're worried about it, what do you think God's doing about it? How concerned is He? And so this whole world is His creation. This morning, let me reach back real quick and just hit on a couple reminder points from last week. If you were here, just a reminder, and if you were not, just to put in your mind. So last week, we really sat on one passage, three verses in James, that reminds us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. And so I remind you to do that. It's not natural to be quick to listen. It is not natural, so it will always be something we have to work at, to engage with someone on a topic that we have a lot of thoughts and opinions on, and just listen. Listen. Be slow to speak, slow to anger. And then I also remind you that the devil, our enemy, is behind all hatred of people, all violence, destruction, injustice, disorder. The devil doesn't care who started it. He doesn't care who's right. He doesn't care who's wrong. He just likes to make a mess of things, and he's doing he's succeeding right now in a lot of ways, isn't he? So, but I remind you that God is still on the throne. He has not stepped down. He's not vacated, and God is still fully capable of overseeing this world that we live in. So, this morning's lesson, we'll start right here in Galatians 3:28. But this morning's lesson is on the topic of prejudice. And it's a topic that, honestly, I haven't preached a lot about. Probably should have preached more about. But it's a topic that our nation is thinking a lot about, this topic of prejudice. And so I encourage you this morning, a couple things real quick. One is, we're going to look at this in a very broad scope. And so prejudice is not just about racial prejudice, but there are many kinds of prejudice. Basically, judging someone based on their appearance, based on, you know, the outward, don't judge a book by its cover type thing. And there are a lot of different categories and ways that we are tempted to be prejudiced. People who are different than we are. So as I present this to you this morning, I just encourage you to take this, the Word of God, it's like a mirror, the book of James says, and look into the mirror. You let this be a moment or a time for you and God and God's Word. your heart. Open your heart. I'm not saying you're a bunch of racists. That's not what I'm saying. I don't know what we are. I don't know what you are. I don't know your heart. And you don't know my heart. But this week I've worked on this lesson and God has worked on my heart. And I've tried to open it to Him. And so I encourage you to do the same. And it's a good time for us to talk about this because God's Word does. So Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. There's no male and female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. And the point of this, don't misunderstand the point. God's not saying there are not differences. Of course there are. He's not saying we don't have different roles. Of course we do. But He's saying in value, we are equal in God's eyes in value as people. We're equal in the church in value, and we're equal, all mankind. Every soul counts as one soul, right? Everyone, one soul. And they all matter to God, and we should view people that way. So flip to Acts chapter 10, a great story, a great passage on dealing with kind of how you look at another person based on outward appearance. And Acts chapter 10 is a story about Peter and Cornelius. And so it starts out with we're introduced to this character named Cornelius. And he's not a Jew, he's a Gentile. He's a Roman centurion. So he's a Roman. To a Jew, he's a Gentile. He is a centurion, meaning he is in the Roman army, law enforcement, high ranking. He has authority, he has power. He is also, we're told very quickly, he is a man who fears God. So although he's not a Jew, he believes in Jehovah God, just like the Jews. So a proselyte is a word for that. But he is a God-fearing man, we know that. We know he is very generous to the poor. And we know he prays continually. You know anyone like that? God-fearing, generous to the poor, and prays continually. That's what we know about Cornelius. So God goes to Cornelius and gives him, he communicates with him through an angel and a vision, and he says, Cornelius, you need to send for Peter, and you need to listen to him. So Cornelius does that. He sends for Peter. Well, meanwhile, Peter is in another location. Peter's on the rooftop. It's noon. It's the noon meal is being prepared, and Peter goes up to pray on the top of the roof, which is common in that time and day. And so he's praying, he's hungry, and he falls into a trance. And in this trance, you may remember this story. He sees this God in this vision, a sheet coming down from heaven. You have different animals in the sheet, and God tells Peter, kill and eat. Here's some food. Well, there are unclean animals in the sheet. And Peter, he doesn't know this is a dream or a trance. And Peter says, I've never eaten something unclean. And God basically says, don't call unclean what I've made clean. Well, that happens a second time. Would you be surprised to know that sometimes we're stubborn in our thinking? It takes us a little bit to change. And God hits Peter a second time with that. He hits him a third time. Then Peter wakes up, and the Bible says he's still confused. He's confused. God sends him, he communicates again with Peter and says, Peter, there are men, I want you to go talk to Cornelius, and there are men from him downstairs. So Peter goes downstairs. They say, hey, we were told to come get you. Peter goes. He goes to Cornelius' house, and when he gets there, there are a big crowd. Cornelius has called everybody. He said, God is like telling me something important's happening here. I'm about to hear something great. And he invites everybody. So it's a big crowd. Peter comes in. First thing out of Peter's mouth is, you know, it is unlawful for me as a Jew to even be here. It's the first thing he says. He says, you know, as a Jew, I'm not even, because Jews were not to fellowship with Gentiles. So to be in a home like this, in a setting like this, this is not what Jews did. And God instructed them in that, in the old law, and with His nation, the Jewish nation, and He did it so that the world would not influence God's people. Does that sound familiar? So we still have that issue of being careful to not let the world influence us in Christ. So Peter says, anyway, I shouldn't even be here, but God told me to come, and so I'm here. And Cornelius says, listen, God told me the same thing. He said for you to come and for us to listen to whatever you say. We are here, and we are ready to listen. And Peter, it's kind of funny. Peter really wasn't told what to say. And he gets to this point. He starts out saying, okay, now I understand that God has made, you know, clean. I understand God's talking about people. He says that right after he says, I'm not really lawfully supposed to be here traditionally, but I now know that this is okay. And then Cornelius says, you were supposed to tell us something. And then Peter makes this statement. He opened his mouth. He said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality. It finally clicks with Peter when Cornelius says, I'm ready to listen, and Peter was told to go, and Peter was not told exactly what to say. But what has Peter's message been since the resurrection? It's been the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter has preached that everywhere. And it finally clicks, and Peter says, I get it. And then he goes into talking about Jesus Christ, the resurrection, dying for our sins, the gospel message, and Cornelius and his family are saved. This is a scripture that reminds us, and incidentally, the New Century Version translates this, I really understand now that to God, every person is the same. Am I prejudiced? That's a question I'm asking you to work with today, to really stop. I know our quick answer to that would be no. None of us would purposefully treat someone different based on something outward or superficial, right? None of us, I mean, we're good-hearted people. We know right and wrong. We know what's good. And so none of us would say that we purposefully do that. And I'm not asking about purposefully. I'm just asking you to let God work with you today to see what might be that He would want to change. Okay? Am I prejudiced? I'll answer that for me. Probably some. I say probably because that's easier than saying, yeah, some. Probably some. Not purposefully, not that I want to be. And remember, we're not talking just about race. We're talking about all types of people and all variations, right? And as I go on in this lesson, I think and I hope it will make a little more sense why I would say that I am probably sometimes prejudiced, and I'm working to not be that way. I know that's a startling thing to hear me say. By the end, I think you will understand more. So yesterday, had some work done on our house, on our AC, and so we had some things that after that was worked on, the repair guy, we had some things that needed to be hauled off, and so he called a guy that he knew would come and haul them off, and so that guy shows up at my house, and he actually got lost. He had the wrong address. I was talking to him on the phone, directing him to my house. Got there, so he comes up. He's an older man, older than I am. I would have said he was 50, but I know he's older than me, so he can't be 50. Almost 50, folks. I'm 49. And he comes walking up, probably 65, in good shape. You can tell real quick this guy's he's lifted some weights before in his life. And so comes walking, he pulls up in his truck, comes walking up. He's wearing an OU hat, and I'm wearing an OU shirt. And so he comments on my shirt. He likes my shirt. And same thing to you. You know, obviously this guy's a smart guy. I mean, he has good taste. And so we have a connection here. And then he talks about, you know, he says, you know, back in the day I played a little football. And I actually played scholarship, had a scholarship to OU and played, or had a scholarship at OU. And he commences to tell me a story of in practice, one day in practice, early on, he played some defensive line, and he thought that was what he was going to play there. And anyway, one day, Coach Switzer asked him, what do you weigh? And he said, he kind of probably fudged a little, but 175 pounds. And Coach Switzer said, "What are you doing over here? You get over there with the wide receivers." And he played some tight end in high school. So he's over there. He said, one day in practice, he goes out for a route, and he gets hit low by one of the Selmans and high by the other Selman, another Selman, and thought he had died. And he said after they hit him, one of them leaned over and said, "Welcome to the Big Eight." Anyway, so we talk for a while. He hauls the stuff off, and I'll tell you, as I'm telling you about this man, he's black. And I hold that to the end to put the question out there, does that change your picture of him? I don't know how you pictured him, and that's not right or wrong, whatever race you pictured him. I didn't say. When I talked to him on the phone, I did not think he was black based on conversation on the phone. I'm not right, wrong, or other. I'm just telling you. And then he showed up. And so real quickly, if I can, pray I'm not misunderstood. We are different in our in how we look, in culture, in things we value, in our history, in our background. Differences are not wrong, folks. And I don't think people of whatever differences they are want to be stripped of those parts of their life and who they are. And so I don't think it is racially insensitive for me to tell you he was a black man. And I can tell you my thought when he walked up, and when I realized that, I did have a quick thought, which was I would be courteous to him regardless, but I do have the thought come in my mind, I will be extra courteous because the last thing I would ever want is him thinking I think less of him because he's black and I'm white. That thought goes through my mind, okay? Right, wrong, or other. I don't think it goes through his mind that he's worried about me thinking he's thinking. Does that make sense? Anyway, I don't know. Amen. I don't know. But I'm asking you to search your heart and let God search your heart. So prejudice, preconceived judgment or opinion about someone just based on their opinion, their appearance, outward things. So let's look at James 2:1, and then I'll give you another scenario and tell you how I think how I know that I have some prejudice towards some people who are different than me. And not willingly would I do that, but once you recognize what is there, you have to change how you make sure that you treat people correctly and love them as God would want you to. All right, James 2:1. "My brother, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in." So this one is about income. You got one comes in. This is a rich guy. He's rich and he looks rich. Right? You have another one who's poor and he looks poor. They both come in. Verse 3, "If you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit down at my feet,' have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" So we have a scenario of being prejudiced based on income difference. If you knew someone was rich, and I mean wealthy, I mean loaded, and you had an interaction with them, do you view them or treat them or feel differently toward them than someone else that you know was homeless 3 weeks ago? These are things that, right? It's on an ongoing basis the devil is trying to get us to do wrong. So scenario, five different people come in this building. This is made up. Person number one. Person number one, and this scenario is not about race. So I won't give a race. You can do with what you wish on that. These are just five differences that are not racial differences. All right, first person is an elderly woman. That's all we know about her. Comes by herself. She comes in, day one, here to worship. Elderly woman. Person number two is a young man with tattoos and piercings and, let's take it up a notch, also a facial tattoo. Right? This is person number two. Incidentally, real quick, chase a rabbit. There's nothing biblically that I have ever studied or understood to say from Scripture that it is wrong for a person to have a tattoo. I find nothing in, I don't have a Scripture that says don't have a tattoo. Okay? And there's more, we could talk more about that. Maybe that's another sermon, but I want to make that point quickly. And then say, my wife has a tattoo. This one's not on, it's this one here. Yes. Preacher's wife has a tattoo. True statement.
I got one too.
True statement. I'm not asking for hands. I'm just making a true statement. Yeah. I'm not promoting. Okay? I'm not promoting. I'm not saying you people dress different. I don't, right? Dress different, act different. Tattoos, no tattoos. I'm not talking about taste. I'm just saying she has one. Now, granted, it is from radiation, and it's a dot so that they know when they do radiation exactly where they need to line things up, but it's still a tattoo. Probably wasn't what you thought, was it? Okay, that's person number two. Person number three is a middle-aged woman who steps out of a new black, looks like freshly detailed Mercedes. She is dressed nice, carrying a, let me get this right, Louis Vuitton purse. I say that for the ladies. Some of you ladies know what I'm talking about. Louis Vuitton. Did I say that right? Okay. Louis Vuitton purse. And she walks confidently. I'm just painting a picture. I'm not being judgmental. Painting a picture. Okay, that's person number three. Person number four is a young couple with two well-behaved grade school kids. Just appearance. This is just what you could see briefly somebody walking in. Young couple, look to be middle income, well-behaved, grade school age kids. Person number five or scenario five is middle-aged man, looks ungroomed, meaning didn't comb his hair well that morning. Yes, he has hair. Ha ha. Prejudice. We're talking about that today, people. Smells like he just mowed the lawn and looks like he just mowed the lawn and socially awkward. It's not a rude way to say that, is it? I'm trying to paint a picture. Five people. Five scenarios. One's a couple and two kids. Which of the five are you glad are here? And are you equally glad that they are all here? And how would you rank the worth of those five? And are you prejudiced? Do you feel any prejudice, meaning, well, I just, do you feel any negative feelings toward any of those five. And mine is number three. One of mine. The one that I struggle with, I say struggle with, one that I have to watch myself on, admittedly, is a prejudice toward very wealthy people who act very wealthy. Can I say that? Is there a better way to say that? So what I mean is, and I know I'm stereotyping some, what I mean is, very proper, very, their wealth is very evident, and it appears showy. Now, I admitted prejudice here, so I'm being honest with you. And so basically, what I don't like is a person who would look down on others, right, based on their status, that they are up here and others are down here. That's what is ugly to me, right? Makes sense? Right. Now, however, the woman I described who came in, we don't know anything about her, except it looks like she has money. She hasn't done anything rudely. She hasn't acted like she thinks she's better than anyone else, has she? And so that's me. Elliot, you have to be aware that you might prejudge someone based on fill in the blank. Same thing with a middle-aged couple. By the way, instinctively, love it. Come on in, right? Middle-aged couple, hey, kids are well-behaved. Who doesn't like that? The man who probably has mental problems comes in, hasn't groomed himself properly. That's an indication of mental health problems. That means work on our part, right? Some people, it will take more effort to help them, won't it? So, this is for you and God. I'm not going to draw any conclusions for you. Just putting things out there for you to let God work with you on. All right, fast forward. You ready to fast forward to the end? All right, James 2, verse 5. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith? So basically James says, you know, it's ironic that you would favor the rich man because God works with all kinds of people, and he has often taken people who have low education, low income, low in man's eyes, mankind's eyes, and God does great things with them. Verse 6, you've dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich ones the ones who oppress you? Here's more irony. Problems that they had in that day and time were those who would oppress would be those who had money, and not that this person in that scenario was an oppressor, but it was just ironic. And so, love your neighbor as yourself is verse 8. Verse 9, show no partiality. And then the thing I've asked you today, and this is something for us to continually do, is to ask God to search our hearts. And then we close with this scripture from James, just about judging others prematurely, and mercy triumphs over judgment. Bottom line is to care about people. I cannot solve all the world's problems, and neither can you. There are a lot of things going on that I could have talked about this morning that are going on around the country, and I don't think that's what you're doing. And it doesn't make sense to address that, but what we in Christ are to do is to love our neighbor. And so I remind you and encourage you to do that. Keep your head up, because we're to look different from the world. If the world is having great trials and the world is discouraged about it, let those in Christ have a bounce in our step and say, God is still good. Amen. He is still good. He's still our Redeemer, and Jesus is still our Savior. He's still saving a lost world. And so keep your head up. We're going to have an encouragement song. Take my life and let it be. And may that always be our song. If you have a need that we could help you with, we'd ask that you come this morning while we stand and sing. Take my life.